Track 16.
This semester, we're going to be looking at the modern aviation industry here in the USA. But today, I'd like to take a look at how it all began. When Orville and Wilbur Wright flew history's first airplane in North Carolina in 1903, the significance of their new invention was, of course, not yet apparent. 20 years later, by 1923, the first passenger planes did little to change that. The first of these were provided by some of the airmail services, flying mail around the country. The U.S. Post Office Department added a few seats for extra revenue, but their planes were noisy, cold, and uncomfortable. They couldn't fly over mountains, so passengers took trains for part of their journey. Another problem was that these planes couldn't carry enough seats to make passenger traffic profitable, so the train was still the way to go. In 1927, Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight captured America's imagination. Lindbergh flew in a small airplane for 33 hours from New York to Paris. Baseball games stopped, and radio announcers wept when his safe arrival in Paris was announced. Humans who had always looked to the sky and stars with wonder could now cross vast oceans with amazing speed by taking to the skies. By the late 1930s, the airlines carried mail and passengers from coast to coast. The DC-3, a new airplane with powerful engines and an enclosed cabin, cut the cost of flying in half. It made airlines a profitable business. But at a cost of 5 cents per mile to transport one passenger, air travel was still expensive. Train travel cost only 1.3 cents per passenger mile and was still more comfortable. The average person usually couldn't afford to fly. But a whole class of people, businessmen who put a money value on their time, could afford to fly on company expense accounts. And they did, in soaring numbers. Further developments during World War II sped the development of commercial aviation. Military airfields built during the war were afterwards sold to cities, which were eager to open their own commercial airports. Airplane manufacturers built new airplanes with pressurized and heated cabins. Suddenly, airplanes could fly above bad weather and mountains, where the air and thus the journeys were smoother. In 1940, 3 million Americans flew. By 1956, 55 million flew. In a country with a population of barely 150 million, large numbers of Americans were seeing the world from the air. By the 1960s, passengers were still mostly business travelers on expense accounts who flew on a regular basis. But in the 1970s and 1980s, a few visionary people began to open the skies to the average American with low fares. Since 1938, the federal government had strictly regulated airline fares and routes. In 1978, President Jimmy Carter deregulated the airlines. Airlines could now choose their own routes and fares. Air traffic figures soared from 205 million in 1975 before deregulation.